So how is it that he's falling unconscious in this room? So the word very quickly spread throughout the world that something unimaginable happened to Krishna. And the different Dwarkavasis, they came there to see what they could do to help Krishna at this time. Present there were Lord Balaram, Subhadra, Uddhava, and Narad Muni. And they began to discuss amongst themselves what could they do to bring Krishna back to exalted consciousness. Narad Muni, he spoke up and he said, I know how to bring Krishna back to external consciousness. If I take my veena and I sing some Braj Lila Kahani, some pastimes of Braj, then definitely Krishna will regain external consciousness. And everyone said, yes, very good, do that. Narad Muni said, but you don't understand, there's a problem. He asked, what is that problem? And he said, if Krishna regains external consciousness, he said, you don't understand. If Krishna returns there now, I can't say what will happen to him. Because the Vrijvasis, in separation from Krishna, were in a dying condition. Mother Yashoda had stopped eating after Krishna had left. Some acharyas described that she was standing like a statue and just staring in the road, in the direction where Akura had taken Krishna away. All the Vrijvasis, they'd stopped cooking. Mother Yashoda's oven was full of cobwebs. And that all the residents of Vrindavan were simply crying and had become piteously wasted away in separation from Krishna. The Braj gopis are not eating, as we mentioned the other night. The rings on their little fingers have become bangles on their wrists. Their bodies have become so wasted away in separation from Shamsundar Krishna. And it's described that not just the people of Braj, but also the cows and the deer in the forest and the peacocks and the birds and all the residents of Vrindavan were simply crying and wailing away in separation from Krishna. Giridhar Govardhan had been shrinking. All the grass and the plants were dried up and were dying. The Jamuna River was drying up. All of Braj was becoming a terrible desert in separation from Krishna. And Narad Muni said that if Krishna returns there now and Krishna sees the condition of Vrindavan, I can't say what will happen to him. So the devotees present there, they discussed amongst themselves and they decided, we have to send a messenger ahead. Someone should go there and tell the Vrijvasis, Krishna's coming. He's on his way now. He's going to be returned very soon. Who can do that? So they said, Uddhava, you should do it. You were Krishna's messenger when Krishna was in Mathura. He sent you to Vrindavan with a message of love for the Vrijvasis. When Uddhava heard their suggestion, he hung his head down. And shaking his head, he said, I can't go. Why can't you go? He said, they won't believe me. Previously, I went there. And I tried to console Nanda and Yashoda. But there was nothing that I could say which would pacify them. I spoke to the Braj gopis, but I saw that their madness and separation from Krishna was like something beyond me. I couldn't understand it. I saw there was nothing that I could tell them. Only one thing was there that I could say to try to pacify them. I had to tell them, Krishna's returning very soon. But then Krishna didn't return. And if I go there now, and again I tell them that Krishna's coming back, they'll call me a liar. They won't believe me. I can't go. So then again they discuss, and they decided, Balaram, you should go. You're Krishna Purabhaja. You're Dauji, Krishna's elder brother. They'll believe you. And Balaram, then he also shook his head. He said, I also can't go. Krishna also sent me with a message of love to Vrindavan. And I danced with the gopis there on the bank of the Jamuna, and I tried to pacify everyone. But nothing that I could do would pacify them. The letter that I brought with me from Krishna was useless. I saw that there was only one thing that would pacify them. And I told them, Krishna's going to return very soon. When I return to Dwarka, I'm going to tell him he must return. He'll listen to me. I told them that. And then when I returned to Dwarka, I told him, I said, Krishna, you have to return to Vrindavan. They're going to die. You have to return. And Balaram, he told Narad Muni and Subhadra and Uddhava were there. He said that, I don't understand. Krishna's always listened to me. He's always respected me and given me so much love and adoration as his elder brother. He's always obeyed whatever I've told him. But this time, he didn't say anything. And he didn't return to Vrindavan. So if I go there with this message, they also won't believe me and they say, you're a liar. I can't go. Then Subhadra spoke up. And Subhadra said, I'll go. Ladies are simple. Men are very crooked. They won't believe you, but they'll believe me. I'll go there, and I'll sit on Yashoda's lap, and I'll wipe away her tears, and I'll tell her, you're Gopal. He's coming now. He's coming soon. He's on his way now, but just on the way, so many different kings and people, when they heard that he was coming, they're stopping him to offer worship. But he's coming now. When Balaram heard this suggestion, he said, yes, I'll also go with you. So you call for my chariot driver, and you call for Taladvaj, my chariot. And they called for Padmadvaj, that's the chariot of Subhadra. And Balaram got on his chariot, and Subhadra got in her chariot. Balaram was going first, and Subhadra was following. This is Rathayatra. This is the way Rathayatra takes place in Jagannath Puri. First is Balaram, then Subhadra comes. And then finally at the end is Chakadola, Kaliya, Jagannath, who has round eyes. He's known as Chakadola and Kaliya. He's blackish. So Balaram and Subhadra set out very quickly to return to Vrindavan. And they arrived there on the outskirts of Vrindavan. They were very excited. They jumped off their chariots and they ran to see the residents of Vrindavan who they'd been separated from so long. But when they saw the condition of Vrindavan, and the Brijbasis, the ecstasy of love and separation that they were experiencing, something happened to Balaram and Subhadra. They became overwhelmed with intense feelings of love, seeing the dying condition of love and separation for the residents of Vrindavan. Something happened to them. They became stunned in ecstasy. And because The deha and the dehi, the inner person and the outer body, is non-different than Balaram and Subhadra. Whatever was inside them manifested on the outside. And Balaram and Subhadra's eyes became very big. And a very big smile came on their face, and their arms and legs shrunk into their body. That form that they manifested at that time is known as Mahabhav Prakash, the form of divine ecstasy. And we see that form in Jagannath Puri. So meanwhile, back in Dwarka, Narad Muni, he picked up his veena and he began to play some Braj Leela Kahani, some song about the pastimes of Braj. And every year in Jagannath Puri, they prepare his chariot known as Nandi Ghosh. And they have a chariot driver, Dwarka is there, Krishna's chariot driver, and they have some wooden horses there in that chariot. So Krishna set out for Vrindavan, going very, very fast. Meanwhile in Vrindavan, something very terrible was going on. The news had spread amongst all the Brijbasis that Srimati Radharani was dying. She could no longer bear the pain of separation from Krishna. Radharani was there in the place known as Niduvan, which is still there today in Vrindavan, right near to the temple of Radharaman. She was lying with her head in the lap of Lalita Sakhi, and Vishakha was fanning her. And Radharani's whole body had become terribly, terribly hot with a terrible fever known as Vipralamba Java Agni, the fire of separation, Vipralamba Jvara, the fever of separation. When the residents of Vrindavan heard that Radharani was in this condition, they began to come to there, to Niduvan, to cry and pray, beg Radharani, please, please, don't leave. Don't die. Kutila came there. Kutila is the so-called sister of Srimati Radharani. The so-called, excuse me, sister-in-law. She's the brother of Abhimanyu and the daughter of Jatila. And Kutila, when she came there and she saw Radharani's condition, she began to cry. And in a sobbing voice, she told Radharani, "Hey Radhe, don't leave. Please don't go. I offended you in so many ways. Many times I criticized you, and I accused you of being asati, or unchaste, and dallying with Krishna, who I call the black snake. And I used to be very proud of my chastity. But then I remember one day, Radharani, that Krishna became sick. And all the residents of Vrindavan became very disturbed. How can we help Krishna? Krishna has some fever. And they called for some doctor. They called for Garga Muni and different expert Brahmins. But none of their medicines could work for Krishna. Krishna told them that my body doesn't respond to these kind of medicines. There's only one thing which will heal my fever. And that's if a perfectly chaste lady brings me a pot of water from the Jamuna, and I drink that water, then my fever will go away. But the proof of her chastity will be that that pot will be a pot that is a sahasradhara, has 1,000 holes in it. And if she's perfectly chaste, when she fills that pot with water, not one drop will come out. So the word spread throughout Braj, Krishna's statement. And everyone was asking, who can do that? Who is it, such a chaste lady? And Kutila then, she said, I was very proud. And I came forward and I said, yes, I'm such a chaste lady. I'll take that pot. I can fill it up with water. I want to save Krishna. So I went there to the Jamuna and I filled up that pot of water and I put it on my head. And all the water came out and I became soaking wet. And all the gopis and residents of Vrindavan began to laugh at me. And then they said, so who can do this thing? And then at that time, Radharani, you stepped forward. And in a quiet voice, she said, I'll do it. And I became very annoyed. How can you do that thing? You're not chaste to my brother. Always you're going and meeting with that Krishna. And Radharani, you didn't say anything. You just took that pot. You put the pot in the Jamuna. And you said one word then. Govinda. And you took that pot and put it on your head. And not one drop came out. And it was thus conclusively proved in Vrindavan that you were the most chaste woman. And Radharani, I offended you in so many ways. Don't go. Don't leave us now. Then Chandravali came there. Rupa Goswami in Lalita Madhav says that Chandravali is actually Radharani's cousin. And Chandravali, seeing the condition of Radharani, she also began crying. And she also prayed to Radharani, don't go, don't go. I offended you in so many ways. Sometimes The residents of Vrindavan, the gopis, used to think that I was some kind of competition for you. But Radharani, you never had any competition. Sometimes Shama Sundar used to come to my kunj when he was supposed to meet you. And then you would become very angry and exhibit your mood known as Man Mohini, a very angry, sulky mistress. And you would refuse Krishna entrance to your kunj. But the reason why Krishna came to my kunj wasn't because he was attracted to me. The only reason that he came was because he wanted to see your loving sulkiness. Krishna is simply controlled by you. He has no interest in any other gopi other than you. And Chandravali then began to sob and weep, please don't go, Radha. Then at that time, Abhimanyu came there. Abhimanyu is also known as Ayan Ghosh. And he also began to cry. And he said, hey Radha, don't go. I am your so-called husband. Ayan Ghosh, our acharyas are described, is actually an expansion of Krishna. He's actually Krishna's shadow. And the tattva and stories around him are many things. It's a very long discussion, very interesting thing. But anyway, Ayan Ghosh, he told Radharani, you're supposed to be my wife, but in actuality, Radharani, I never touched you. You only belong to Krishna. And don't go. Please don't die. Don't leave us, Radharani. In this way, all the residents of Vrindavan were crying and wailing when they found out about the condition of Radharani. Suddenly there, in Nidavan, Krishna arrived on his chariot. And he became so ecstatic and so eager to see the Brijbasis and Radharani. Krishna jumped off his chariot and went running. And then Krishna saw Srimati Radharani and how her body had wasted away due to not eating and separation from Krishna. And he saw the old, torn, dirty cloth that she was wearing in separation from Krishna. And he saw that her whole body was burning and she was dying. When Krishna saw the intense, ecstatic love that Radharani was exhibiting, separation from him, he became overwhelmed. And an amazing thing happened to him. Suddenly, his eyes became very big. And a big smile came on his face. And his hands and legs shrunk into his body. And he manifested that form, known as Mahabhav Prakash, or the form of divine ecstasy. And then Radha and Krishna were together. There was union. But it was a very strange situation. They were together, but Radharani was dying and Krishna was stunned, standing in this form. He couldn't move in ecstasy. At that time, Vrindadevi, understanding the situation, knowing the proper medicine, she called for a soft spring breeze. And that breeze carried the fragrance of Krishna's body to the nostrils of Srimati Radharani. And in Lalita, she leaned over and she whispered in Radharani's ear, hey Radhe, Krishna's returned. Krishna's returned to Vrindavan. And Srimati Radharani's eyes opened. She regained external consciousness. But still, there's some problem. Krishna's lying there in this stunned condition, this Mahabhav Prakash. What can he do? So Vishakha, understanding the medicine for Krishna, she went over and she whispered into Krishna's ear, Radhe, Radhe. And then Krishna regained external consciousness. And there was eye-to-eye union. After so long a separation, and Radharani and Krishna directly saw each other. And my revered spiritual master, he said that at this time, Krishna, he told Radharani, hey Radhe, to commemorate this pastime and to honor the love you have for me and the love the residents of Vrindavan have for me. I'll always manifest this form known as Mahabhav Prakash in Jagannath Puri. And as we mentioned a few evenings ago, that form of Lord Jagannath is known technically as Mahabhav Prakash. It's Madhurja Rasa Ganayiti Murti. It's a condensed form of Madhurja Ras. And that form is known technically as Radha Viraha Vidura Roop, the embodiment of separation from Srimati Radharani. If separation from Radha can manifest a form, that form is Jagannath. And similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's known as Krishna Viraha Vidura Roop. He's the embodiment of separation from Krishna. If separation from Krishna can manifest a form, that form is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these two opposites have a strange meeting in Jagannath Puri Dham. So then what about the answer to our question that we began with? If Jagannath is Shyam Sundar Vrindavan Krishna, then Kotai Radha, where is Srimati Radharani? To understand this is a very, very big subject matter. We wrote about a 20-page article on the subject in our 12th issue Krishna Katamrita. We call that article The Hidden Identity of Lord Jagannath. And we spoke about different understandings of Jagannath and how so many different people see him in so many different ways. And we touched on this yesterday. There in Jagannath Puri every year, you'll find so many people worship him. The Shankaracharya of Puri. The Shankaracharya is also a title. It refers to Adi Shankaracharya, the incarnation of Lord Shiva. But it's also a title in their disciplic succession. And the current Shankaracharya of Puri, the current Mahant of that temple, every year at the Rath Yatra, he comes and he does arti to Lord Jagannath. But what is his conception about the Lord? He thinks of Jagannath as Savishesh Brahman. Brahman with a form. And present at that Rath Yatra are Ramanandi Vaishnavas. They think that Lord Jagannath is Lord Ramachandra. Present at that Rath Yatra, you'll find some Sri Vaishnavas who consider that Jagannath is actually Lord Narayan, Vaikunthapati, the Lord of Vaikuntha. You'll also find some Vaishnavas present there who consider that Lord Jagannath is Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna. And some other Vaishnavas there, some other persons we should say, who consider that Jagannath is actually Lord Shiva. Some Shaivites, they attend the Rath Yatra. In this issue of Krishna Katamrita magazine, we printed an article called Faces at Rath Yatra. And you can see so many different people coming to the Rath Yatra festival. And some of them, like this fellow up here in the left corner, he has Shaivite tilak on. Some Shaivites are coming to worship Lord Jagannath. There's also some Ganapatnis, some devotees of Lord Ganesh who come to Rath Yatra. There are also some Buddhists who worship Jagannath. And there's a long ancient tradition in Jagannath Puri. It's a very involved discussion of Jagannath being Buddha. Just over the doorway of the temple in Puri, there's some statues of the Dasavatars. And in the, what position is that? I think that's in the ninth position. Thank you, Kuru. Instead of Lord Buddha, they have a picture of Lord Jagannath. There's a form of Lord Jagannath there. You can see just right here. And also on the left here, you see this is a picture of some Muslims taking Jagannath Prasadam and one mutt in Jagannath Puri. And every year in Jagannath Puri, in Orissa, there's different Rath Yatras that go on. And in many villages, the Muslims help to make the carts. And they take part in the Rath Yatra. There's also Christians that take part in the Rath Yatra. There's some Christians in Orissa like that. So many people are worshiping Jagannath. But what was the conception of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He understood Jagannath to be Dvibhuj Muralidhar, two-handed Krishna playing the flute, Vrindavan Krishna. And if we consider the matter carefully, we can understand that Lord Jagannath is the Ishtadev, or the worshipable deity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chandas Thakur, in his Chaitanya Mongol, he quotes the Vayu Purana. Kale pratama sanyayam lakshmi kanto bhavishyati daru brahma samipantaha sanyaso gora vigraha. That in the beginning of Kali Yuga, Lord Narayan will appear on the earth in a golden form, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Taking sannyas, he will reside in Purushottam Khetra near Lord Jagannath. Sanyaso gora vigraha. He'll take sannyas and have a golden form. But he'll be there next to Daru Brahma Samipantaha. He'll be there next to Lord Jagannath. And it's described in Chaitanya Mongol that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to have darshan of Jagannath three times a day. I did some careful study of the deities that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped. Practically, there's no mention in any of the biographies of any of these deities. One time, when he would go to some particular place, it's mentioned that he would go to that deity and he would cry and have darshan of that deity. But practically throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's only one mention, or Chaitanya Bhagavata, Chaitanya Mongol, Bhakti Vedanakar, Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, different biographies of Mahaprabhu that we went through, there'll be only one mention of the deity. One exception is Tota Gopinath. Tota Gopinath is mentioned maybe a dozen times that Mahaprabhu went there to be with Gadadhar Pandit. But Jagannath is mentioned hundreds of times in all the biographies. It seems that Jagannath was a particularly worshipable deity for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And on the basis of this verse from Lord Chandas Thakur, which Lord Chandas Thakur quotes from Vayu Purana, there's a very special connection between Jagannath and Mahaprabhu. That's also seen when Mahaprabhu went to Sri Rangam. When he went there, he was going to have darshan. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita that every day he was going to have darshan of Lord Ranganath. For the 4 months he stayed there during the Chaturmasya period, he stayed in the house of Venkatabhatta. But what many devotees don't know is that while he was there in Sri Rangam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made deities with his own hands. Those deities are still present today in Jagannath Puri. Excuse me, in Sri Rangam. I went there some years ago and we had their wonderful darshan. It's a very unusual temple. In Tamil writing on the walls of this temple is the verses of the Shikshastika. And here's a picture of the deities there. This is the deities in that temple are Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. And they were made by the hands, they say, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's another sign that Lord Jagannath was the worshipable deity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is the special connection between Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It's described in Chaitanya Chandodaya Natakam of Kavi Karnapur. He relates a discussion where on one occasion Maharaj Prataparudra, he asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he said that since Vrindavan is the dearest place to Mahaprabhu, when he went there, why did he only stay for such a short time? And why did he return here to Jagannath Puri? And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, Jagannathena tadviraham asahamanena samakrishta eva. He was drawn back like a magnet pulls iron because Jagannath couldn't tolerate his separation. There's a very deep, very special relationship between Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipping Jagannath? If his mood is Aradya Bhagavan Bhajesatanayasta Dhamma Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Bhajavagu Vadu Vargena Vakalpita. This is described by Srinath Chakravarti in his Chaitanya Mata Manjusa commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says there that this is the opinion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Tamidam Tatrapayuna Paraha. This is the opinion of Mahaprabhu and nothing else, that Vrindavan Krishna is the topmost form of the Lord. Vrindavan is the topmost abode. And the best form of worship, Ramya Kacha Dupasana Vajavadu, Vargena Vakalpita, is the worship of the Brajabadus, the gopis of Vrindavan, headed by Srimati Radharani. Why is it, if that is his mood, why is Jagannath so important to him? Why not Radha Gopinath, Tota Gopinath in Puri? Why not some other deities of Radha Krishna? Why is it that Jagannath is the Ishtadev of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu is described, Dadu chala rupe Krishna prakata samprate Darshana snane kore jivera mukate Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Jalu, Daru, Jala, Rupe, Krishna, Prakata, Samprati. In Kali Yuga, Krishna manifests in two forms. As in the form of wood and in the form of water. In the form of wood, he gives his darshan. In the form of water, he allows people to take bath. In these two forms, people become liberated. This is the deity in Kali Yuga. Lord Jagannath is the deity for Kali Yuga. And this is why Lord Jagannath is worshipped by so many people. We've not heard of Buddha being worshipped by so many different types of people. The Christians don't worship Buddha. The Hindus don't worship Buddha. But there are Christians who worship Jagannath. There are Ramanandi Vaishnavas who worship Jagannath. There are Sri Vaishnavas who worship Jagannath. There are Shaivites who worship Jagannath. There are Buddhists who worship Jagannath. There are Christians who worship Jagannath. There are even politicians who worship Jagannath. They don't worship anyone, except for votes. But to get some votes, they worship Jagannath. And they consider him to be a cultural symbol. Everyone worships Jagannath in Kali Yuga. Therefore, Daru Brahma Rupi Sakshat Shri Purushottam. He says that that form of wood, when Krishna appears in Kali Yuga, is Lord Jagannath, and the form of water is the Ganga. So there's a special relationship between Jagannath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not come in Kali Yuga to be a deity. It's described by Thakur Bhaktivinoda, by Jagadananda Pandit in Prema Vivarta, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said there, Sadhu pa kashta bhara jivira janiya sadhu guru rupe Krishna aila nadiya. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of sadhu guru. He didn't come to be a deity. He came to be a devotee. Bhakta rupa sarupa kam. And that's why we don't worship him as a Krishna. We don't put the symbols of Krishna. We don't put a flute in his hand. We don't dress him like we do Krishna. Because he's in the mood of a devotee. So we worship him in that way. We worship him by chanting Hare Krishna. He's Sankirtanaika Pitaro. He's come as Bhakta Roop in the mood of a devotee. He's Channa Avatar, a hidden incarnation. The deity for this age is Jagannath. And the ideal devotee to show us how to worship Jagannath is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then where is Radharani? This is a very, very important question. We don't see Radharani next to Jagannath. But if Jagannath is Shyam Sundar Vrindavan Krishna, she should be there. But we don't find her. She's not there. Or is she? In the sixth verse of the Jagannatha Ashtakam, it describes Para Brahma Pita Kuvalaya Dolotfula Nayano Nivasi Nilado Nehita Charano Nanta Sirasi Rasanandi Radha Sadasava Puralingana Suko Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me. This verse is a very interesting verse. It's a little mysterious in the Sanskrit. And some people have translated it in different ways. Para Brahma Pita Kuvalaya Dolot Fula Nayano. One general meaning would be that the deity of Jagannath is putting his feet on the head of Lord Brahma. That's one direct definition you could give of this sloka. But that sounds a little strange. First of all, Lord Jagannath doesn't have feet. And secondly, we don't know really of any pastime exactly what's so intrinsic with Jagannath Leela, why he puts his feet on the head of Lord Brahma. So there's another meaning. Para Brahma Pita can also mean that the Param Brahma, that Lord Jagannath is the last limit of Brahman. He's the highest form of the Lord because he's Mahabhav Prakash. Nibhasi Nilado Nehita Charano Nantir Sirasi. Although a previous verse of the Jagannath Ashtakam, the second verse, describes Sada Srimad Vrindavana Vasati Lila Parichayo, that he's always living in Vrindavan. This sixth verse of Jagannath Ashtakam says, Nibhasi Niladro Nihita Charano Nanta Sirasi. He's always living in Nilachal, Jagannath Puri Dham. Why and how that is, that's another very, very big subject to compare. What is Jagannath Puri and what is Vrindavan? We won't go in that direction. It would be another few more hours. So he's always living in Jagannath Puri. And what is his nature? Rasanandi Radha Sadasavapur Alingana Sukho. Alingana means to embrace. And it's described Rasanandi. He's always relishing the happiness of Rasa by directly embracing the body of Srimati Radharani. How many times have you seen Lord Jagannath Prabhuji? The deity of Jagannath? Can you count?
Many
times. How many times have you seen him embracing Radharani? No. You've never seen that? So maybe this is just some poetic expression. It has no meaning. We have to look a little deeper. The statement is there. But it must have some purport because, as Prabhuji said, we don't see Radharani being embraced to Lord Jagannath's chest. Lord Jagannath has a very unusual pastime which takes place. The last time it took place is in 1996. The time before that was in 1977. And the next time is coming up, I think, in a few years, and that's called the Navakalevaram. It's when Jagannath changes his body. He's the only deity that we know of that on a regular basis has this change of body experience. And when he changes his body, all the pandas in Puri, they shave their heads because they consider that one of our relatives has passed away. And they bury his body like a human being in a place inside the Jagannath temple known as Akweli Vaikuntha. And they have a new deity who comes there. And there's a long process to finding a new deity. We wrote a long article about this in our fourth issue of Krishna Kathamrita magazine. I won't go there in that direction now. It's a long thing. The head priest has to go to the Kakata Mangala Devi temple, and he has to have a dream. He stays there the night, and he has to have a dream. And Mangala Devi comes to him and tells him where the tree is to be found. That tree has to be a particular type of tree. It has to be a neem tree. It has to have four major branches. It has to have a Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, symbols of these four items that Lord Vishnu has on the tree. It can't have a bird's nest in it. It has to have an anthill near it. It has to have a crematorium near it. It has to have a mountain near it. It has to have a lake near it. It has to have a river near it. There has to be a Shiva temple near it. There has to be an Ashvata tree growing near it, which is a very rare tree. There has to be a Pipli tree growing near it. And if all of these things are not found, they won't cut it. That tree won't be accepted as Lord Jagannath. It's very complicated. And there's more things they have to find too. So then when they go to cut that tree, there's an elaborate ceremony. First they take a gold axe. We printed a photograph of that gold axe. They touch a gold axe to the tree. The gold axe is only about this big. Then they take a silver axe, which is also very small, and they touch that to it. And then they take an iron axe, and that's a big axe, and they cut down that tree. Then they cut off all the branches, and they cut off all the bark. They do a ceremonial fire jugya, chanting Purusha Shukta. Then they do an abhishek of that tree. They bathe the tree, and that tree then is considered to be purified. And then they perform the first ceremony, a secret ceremony, which is the beginning of the prana pratishta, or the ceremony where the life air is called to that deity. I sometimes used to do deity installations for my Guru Maharaj. That was some service we used to do it. And for those ceremonies, you call the deity Shri Krishna Yahava, Yahava, Shri Krishna Yahatista, Yahatista, Shri Krishna Yahasanidhi, Yahasanidhi. There's a special mantra, mantras that you do, and in particular, at one point, you touch the heart of the deity, and you chant a mantra which is known as the Shodhanyasa mantra. And the Shodhanyasa mantra is kind of like telling the deity who he is, giving his identification. It's a particular mantra. If you install a deity of Ganesh, then you chant a Shodhanyasa mantra for Ganesh. If you install a deity of Krishna, you chant Krishna mantra. If you install Radharani, you chant a Radha mantra. If you install a deity of Balaram, you chant a Balaram mantra. What is a Shodhanyasa mantra for Lord Jagannath? They chant this mantra 6 times. We managed to find out this mantra, which has been lost largely in Jagannath Puri. I can read that mantra to you if you'd like. Smira shyam kum kuma bam spuradara patta pranta klipa vangutam Ramyam vesena venikrita chikura sikalambi padmam kishorim Tarjanangushta yukta harimukha kamale yunjatim nagavali Parnam karna yaktakshim tribhuvana ruchiram radikam bhavayami. The Shodhanyasa mantra that they chant to install the deity of Lord Jagannath is a Radha mantra. That's the deity that they call the Jagannath. And this is a very secret thing. This mantra which you just recited, it's a very ancient mantra in Jagannath Puri. It's not known to any of the pandas except for that head priest who installs the deity. I'll read you a translation of the mantra. I meditate in Srimati Radharani, who is the most beautiful girl in all the three worlds. She has a smile on her face, and the complexion of kumkum. Her veil is made with a border of her splendid lower cloth. Her dress is delightful, and a lotus hangs at the end of her braid. She appears wonderful in her fresh youth, and her eyes extend to her ears. With her thumb and index finger, she is placing a betel leaf in the lotus mouth of Lord Hari. This is a very, very important point. This Nyasa mantra is a mantra which establishes a deity. And the Nyasa mantra for Lord Jagannath is this Radha mantra. So Rasanandhi Radha Sadasa Vapur Alingana Sukho. Radharani is indeed embraced to the heart of Lord Jagannath. Shall I tell you another secret which very few people know about? When you worship the deity, here we have Sri Sri Gaura Nityananda Prabhu. And I don't know how you put them to rest, but most temples, they'll have some beds. You have beds for the deities here? And you have these small deities, and I think probably you put the small deities in the bed, because the big deities are too large. Jagannath is about 7 feet high in Puri. To carry Jagannath, it takes about 20 or 30 men. He's a very, very heavy deity. They don't put him in a bed every night. They have a special deity for this purpose, which very few people know about. That deity, appropriately, is called the Shaina Vigraha, literally meaning the deity who sleeps. That deity is considered not different from Jagannath. Therefore, he's the Utsava, the Shaina Vigraha, the deity that they use to put to sleep. But that deity has a very unusual form and another unusual name. He's also known as Arda Nari Ishvara, or Ardi Lakshmi Hari. That deity has 8 arms. And half of that deity is Lord Narayan, and half of the deity is Lakshmi. This form of the Lord is described in the Sarada Tilak Tantra. Vidyu Chandra Nivambapukamalaja Vaikuntaya Ekatam Praptam Sneha Basena Ratna Vilasad Bhusha Paralankritam Vidyapankaja Darpanam Mani Moyam Kumbam Sarojangadam Shankam Chitram Mamuni Vidradamitam Disyachiram Vasada. He's the color of lightning and the moon. Half of his body is Vishnu and the other half is Lakshmi. This union, this verse in the Sarada Tilak Tantra described, is due to mutual affection. He's adorned with numerous gem-set ornaments. He's carrying in each of his 8 hands a book, a lotus, a mirror, a pot full of gems, another lotus, a club, a conch shell, and a disc. And the verse describes that may this form of the Lord create boundless auspiciousness for all of you. This form, this deity, this Arda Lakshmi Hari, Arda Nari Ishvara, this Shaina Vigraha, is a very small deity. He's only maybe so big. He, she is only so big. And a very unusual feature of this deity is the deity is made out of solid gold. This is significant for a number of reasons. One point is that this is unusual because the other deities in the Jagannath Mandir are not made out of gold. There are a number of deities in the Jagannath temple. Jagannath is Daru Brahma. He's made principally out of wood. Actually, he has 7 layers to his body. His bottom layer is made out of wood, and then he has some rope and some resin and different things on the outer parts of his body, representing the different 7 parts of the human body. That's another discussion. And then there's some Vijay Vigraha of Madan Mohan there in the temple, Krishna Balaram. And they're made out of Astadaktu, 8 different types of metals. But only this particular deity is made out of gold. What is the significance of this? My revered spiritual master, he described that this gold color is a color of Lakshmi Devi, and it's also the complexion of Srimati Radharani. As we say, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi. Radharani has a golden color. This gold color has some significance. My revered spiritual master described this. He said, when we speak about prema, it has a gradual development. The first rise of prema is called rati. When rati becomes more and more condensed, it develops into sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, and bhav. Then comes mahabhav, which further develops into ruda mahabhav, adi ruda mahabhav, modanakya mahabhav, and then madanakya mahabhav, the topmost. This is a gradual development of prema. When prema has developed to the stage of anurag, its complexion is the color of the rising sun, Arunavarna. When Anurag becomes more condensed, it becomes Bhav and then Mahabhav. The color of Mahabhav is golden, Gauravarna. So Brishabhanu Nandini, the color of Brishabhanu Raj, is Madanakya Mahabhava Mayi. The color of that Madanakya Mahabhava is molten gold. Therefore Radharani is Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, the color of molten gold. So, just as the color of Radharani is golden, so too is the color of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Tapta Kanchana Gauranga. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the embodiment of that Madanakya Mahabhav. That Madanakya Mahabhav, which is a very amazing emotion which arises when there's both union and separation. Like in Kurukshetra, and like in Jagannath Puri. Rupa Goswami, excuse me, Jiva Goswami, in his Priti Sandarbha, he's defined the word Vipralamba. Vipralamba means separation. He says that Vipralamba means, Vipra means attaining something which Lamba is at a distance. Meaning external separation but internal union. This is what Vipralamba means, is external separation but internal union. And therefore Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is two opposites in one container. Vipralamba, separation, is predominant in Gaura. He's crying for Krishna. And this again is why we don't worship him as Krishna. And we don't put the symbols of Krishna on his body. We don't decorate him like Krishna. Because his mood is separation from Krishna. If we tell him he is Krishna, then he won't feel that separation. So we don't decorate him in that way. So separation is predominant in Gaura. But at the same time, union is there. There's two opposites in one container. Separation is there. He's overwhelmed with the feelings of separation of Radharani. But union is there because he's Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. He's a combined form of Radha and Krishna. This is the nature of separation. And therefore, his worshipable deity is Lord Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath is also the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Because separation means external separation but internal union. And therefore, Rasanandi Radha Sarasavapur Alingana Suko. Externally we see Jagannath, but internally is Srimati Radharani. And therefore, when they install the deity of Jagannath, they use the Shodanyasa mantra of Srimati Radharani. That's the inner identity of Lord Jagannath. That's who's inside there. And this is seen. And this Shayana Vigraha, this eight-armed deity, very mysterious and rare deity, who's a half Lakshmi, half Narayan, half Radha, half Krishna. And this is why Lord Jagannath is a worshipable deity for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're both the combined form of Radha and Krishna. But one of them is Radha Viraha Vidura Rupa, the embodiment of separation from Radharani. That's Jagannath. And the other is Krishna Viraha Vidura Rupa, the embodiment of separation from Krishna. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is how Srimati Radharani is present in Jagannath Puri. She's always there with Vrindavan Krishna. And that Vrindavan Bihari is manifest in Kali Yuga as Lord Jagannath. Radharani's with him, but in an unseen, hidden way. So we'll stop there. Shri Madhujura Saganaiti Murti Mahabhav Prakash Jagannath Ki Shri Prem Purushottam Sachinandana Gora Hari Ki Go Premanandi Vanchakopadri Vishchara Sindhi Deva Chana Pagitanam Bhavani Vaishnavi Yudhamodama. I went really over time today. I'm very sorry. You have a question?
Yeah, it was about this not putting the symbols of Krishna on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Is there any standing order from any authority source in ISKCON? That's just because I heard this, and I'm also in the. I also like not to put the symbols, but I see others they do.
Yes.
And some they said, well, that's.
It's a controversial thing. And I'm not going to suggest that it has to be done one way or the other way. In our talk, we were speaking some philosophy. And according to Archana, you may follow another way. And I'd like to explain how we can see it both ways. Traditionally, it's not done. And if you go to see the original deity, worship of Mahaprabhu, worshipped by Murari Gupta, they don't put a peacock feather on his head. If you see the original deity worshipped by Gauridas Pandit, they don't put a peacock feather on his head. If you see the original deity Mahaprabhu worshipped by Vrindavan Das Thakur, they don't put a peacock feather on his head. For this very reason, that he's in the mood of Radharani. He's in the mood of a devotee. And he gives more mercy when he's in that mood. On the other hand, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's described about the Mahaprakash Lila, how for 21 hours, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested the mood of Lord Narayan. He sat down on the altar of Lord Narayan, he put all the Shalagram Shilas on his lap, and he said, I am Vishnu. And all the devotees, he called for everyone and he gave them mercy. But Vrindavan Das Thakur arranged to him on a codicil. He said, you can do it because he's Bhagavan. There's no question of him getting any reaction or something. But we don't do it because he's in the mood of a devotee. Similarly, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that we don't mix the worship of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Krishna. We don't worship Mahaprabhu as Krishna. He didn't come in that way. We should worship him in the particular mood that he comes in. He writes that in several purports in Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you wanted, I could later find the references. He also wrote a letter to Satsarup Maharaj saying a similar thing, that we don't worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna. So he didn't explain why he told Jananivas and Pankajam Rupa Bhuja to do that, but we have some, educated speculation in this regard, which we should do. That's manana. We should think about things. We should think about them according to Shastra and the statements of our acharyas. Our thought is that perhaps Srila Prabhupada wanted to show the Indians that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Krishna, and Lord Nityananda is non-different from Balaram. But when they made the first printing of the Archana Padati, which is the official puja padati for ISKCON, in the original printing, I think later there was some controversy and they cut this thing out. I don't want to be involved in controversy, but in the original printing, they said that the devotees may do this in India for the sake of preaching, or they may not, it's up to them. But they don't recommend doing it in other countries because it's not like the people in Denmark or Sweden or something are going to look, oh, he has a peacock feather in his head. Okay, he must be God then. Peacock feather doesn't mean anything to them. But some temples for preaching in India, they may do like that. Or someone may do it because Srila Prabhupada told Jananivas and Pankajangri that. That's a reason. And we may do that for that reason. Or we may do it for this other reason, this philosophical reason, that he didn't come for that purpose, and that's why he's not worshipped in that way. And also, I've done some research in Orissa. We'd like to write a book on the many, many dozens of ancient deities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Orissa from the time of Mahaprabhu, which many of them are in distant villages. We visited some of those places and took photos of some of those deities. And in a number of the places, we were the first Westerner that they ever remember going there. Some of those places are many hours off the beaten track and just dirt roads in some remote villages where Mahaprabhu traveled. And to commemorate his visit, they had some dream. Mahaprabhu maybe came to them in a dream and said, make a deity of me. So 500 years ago, they made a deity of Mahaprabhu. And in none of those deities will you find a peacock feather. There's one exception. There's one deity they worship as Rasaraj Mahabhav. In other words, a combined form of Rasaraj Krishna and Madanakimabhav Radha. And it's a little unusual kind of worship, but they have a flute in his hands. In one hand he has a flute, in the other hand he has some japa beads. And sometimes they put a peacock feather on his hand because they worship him as both Krishna and Radha. Similarly, when we worship Sadbhuj Mahaprabhu, we put a peacock feather on his head because there's three forms then. There's Lord Ramachandra, there's Krishna, and there's Mahaprabhu. But that's a different form of the Lord. And that form of the Lord doesn't give the same kind of mercy that said Bhuj Mahaprabhu as this form of Sri Sri Gwani Thai that we generally worship. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I'm not going to be kicked out of the temple for controversy.
Valuable points.
We don't like to cause any conflict. I'm not a manager. We're not suggesting any differences. We're just speaking some philosophy.
Another practical question is there's a deity installation. But if there's a new altar, is there also some ceremony that needs to be performed? Or?
Usually when we have a new altar, when we have a new temple, we put the deities and we'll do an Abhishek ceremony. And sometimes, like if we especially have a new temple we bring the deity into, then they'll have traditionally in Orissa especially, they'll have we call it in Bhubaneswar, they call it the annual day festival. And they'll have a special festival every year on that particular day, which in Bhubaneswar is Nityananda Trayodasi, which in Gadagiri is the Sant Panchami, and they have an Abhishek festival every day. Just like in Jagannath Puri, Jagannath has three birthdays, we mentioned before. Janmashtami, Snanyatra, which Snanyatra is the day he originally appeared in the Gundicha Mandir, and the third day is known as Niladri Mahodaya. What can I do without her? Niladri Mahodaya is the day that Jagannath was installed in the Jagannath temple. So they observe a special festival for that day. So you might do that. A new altar, a new temple. You might have a special festival every year to commemorate that. Or maybe just the first time you do it, you have an Abhishek and a special festival, and that's just a one-time thing. Either way.
Yes.
Okay. All right, it's really late. Thank you very much for listening. Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Mai Ju Aki Shri Prabhupada Aki Go Prema Nandi Raksha Kopa Guru this gentleman is to be able to have any problem in relation to the one.
I have a question.